And good morning, everyone. I would like to draw your attention to some of our announcements this morning. First, tickets for our upcoming Welcome to Summer Supper will be on sale after the service in the McClellan Room, so please see Trish to reserve your spot. And the WOC will be selling off their inventory for Fundscrip. They are hoping to sell all remaining cards by June 30th. They also have a variety of pies and hamburger soup for sale. Please see the ladies in the lower hall after worship for more details and to make a purchase. Please note that this is the last week to register for Uplift. Uplift was formerly called Canada Youth, and it is a wonderful opportunity for young people to share in their faith journey with others. Thank you to Trish and Chuck for providing coffee hour this morning, and we hope everyone will stay and get reacquainted with Reverend Dr. Dent following the service. Brenda, Susan, and I are excited this morning to challenge you to the building of a Toonie tabletop. In order to build this tabletop, we need your help. On Sunday mornings, we will be looking for Toonies to complete this project. Each week, please save your Toonies and bring them to church. If you only shop with a debit or credit card, consider going to the bank and purchasing some Toonies. Or you can include your donation in your envelope and please mark Toonie tabletop. We will happily convert it to Toonies for you and add them to the table. For those of you who are unable to come to church, all of you live stream people, we will gratefully accept your e-transfer or check, and again, please indicate Toonie tabletop And we encourage you to place your tunies on the table if you bring them. The table is in the back. You can check it out after the service. Or we will have fun placing them for you. Let's see how quickly we can complete the tabletops with tunies. And last but certainly not least, we welcome the Reverend Dr. Jonathan Dent to the pulpit this morning to help us celebrate our anniversary. Jonathan is no stranger to St. John's, having served as associate minister in the 90s, and we certainly thank him for joining us today. Thank you.
He is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Come, let us worship God.
Whose glory filled our worship.
With seraphim and cherubim, we sing our song of praise.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory.
Purify us, that we might worship you.
Give strength to your people, O Lord, and bless us with your peace.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, blessed Trinity, words cannot express nor wisdom comprehend your exceeding greatness. And yet you bend to hear our cries and to redeem your creation. Guide our hearts through this hour that we might come to know the glory of your love made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory this day and forevermore. Amen. We begin our service this morning in praise as we sing the hymn 134, Lord, You Were Rich, number 134.
Oh,
Friends, it is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us come this day confessing our sin. The words of the prayer of confession will appear before you on the screen. Eternal Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. But we are fickle people, redirected by every breeze that blows, distracted by the sounds of the world all around us. Forgive us when we have been distracted and have sought to follow other spirits. Draw us back, that our feet may be set on the solid ground of your love, and help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, hear this good news. We did not receive the spirit of slavery, but rather the spirit of adoption. Your guilt has departed. Your sin is blotted out. For you are God's beloved children, forgiven, loved, and freed. May God's peace be with you. Amen. Once more, we sing to God's praise the hymn 379. From heaven you came, helpless babe, 379.
Thank you.
if I can invite the young people to come forward. We have a couple of young people this morning. And Hannah, Claire, why don't you guys come up too? That'll just fill out the front row a little bit. Oh no, you gotta come over here. Because I can't move. We're talking earlier about things. Yeah, no, it doesn't. It means because I go away from the camera.
Okay, thank you.
You know
thank
this.
You. Yes.
This is where the minister has to stand for the children's story, or he disappears for all the people in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Now, I want to welcome all our young people here this morning. I want to welcome Jonathan.
Yeah.
Jonathan used to be the minister here. And when Jonathan was the minister here, I'm not going to ask Laura how old she is in worship.
Yeah. But, thank you. That's very kind.
But I think Laura would be younger than Hannah-ish. About that age.
Yeah, there you go.
Go with the younger. It makes you younger, Laura. So,
yeah.
About the age of our parents is where you are. So we're very pleased to have Jonathan here this morning, and he's going to have a word for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert, and hello to everyone. And thanks for being in the front pew and listening, as well as everybody else, because we know this is for everybody, not just for you guys. You know that too, right? When we have what used to be called children's time is now intergenerational family time. And so we come to this time, and we say, what's he going to say this week? Or what's he going to do? Or what did he bring? And I didn't bring anything. I won't say my pockets are empty because they're not empty. And I'm thoroughly wired so that I can't turn in certain directions, like, you know, kind of robotish, kind of. So I can. But there is an instrument that I play. Is it, any of you guys play musical instruments? Anything? Any adults? Any musical instruments? You want to say what you play? As an instrument, would you like to tell me? I can almost hear you.
Piano,
thank you so much. And?
Violin.
Nice. And I play sax and flute, and I didn't bring those along, so it's just so you know. But it's kind of, we all have things that we play, and everybody has a voice, yes? No matter how good you are with singing. And how do we use our voices usually in church and singing? Singing is, you tell me, adults? Praise. Yeah, we worship God with our singing. And we can do that with our instruments too, right? Because it says in the Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150. And so sometimes I sing with the birds. I go out in the morning. You hear the birds? It's springtime. Do you hear the birds? What do they say? Something like that, right? That's praise. They're praising God, right? They're praising God. That's how they praise God. Now, we don't understand what they're saying, but that's okay, right? They have different beaks than we do. Right, but we do have lips, and some of us can do. I'm sorry to the sound people for this. That's okay. Now you ask, now how can you do that? How can you do that without taking a breath? We had a pool when I was little, and I used to do underwater laps, but that's not the reason. The real reason is you can whistle breathing out and whistle breathing in. Go ahead, can you whistle? Yeah, you can whistle in like breathing in. Anyway, and thank you to the sound people for making that okay. Anyway, the point is, we have breath. We praise God for that breath. Our lives are gifts. Nobody asked, hey, Mom and Dad, I'd like to live. Would you bring me into the world? Did anybody ask their mom and dad before he got? No. So we're here by grace. It's a gift, our life. And so we praise God with what we have. So let's pray together, shall we? And I usually say a prayer, and you say the prayer after me. Is that okay? Everybody can do that, so it's not just the four at the front, okay? So let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for being here. Thank you for loving me. Help me to love you and to know you and to praise you every day, whether it's with my voice or with my singing or with my instrument or even whistling. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for being good sports.
And Trish is on the way to the back, so you guys can go too. And we'll see you after worship. Once more, let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear your word of life and to give all honor, glory, and praise to your threefold name. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Morning. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. Second reading will be responsive, Psalm 29, and the words will be on the screens. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syria like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of the Jebusites.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl, the strips of the forest bare. And all his temple all say, Glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And our New Testament reading, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Our next hymn is 655 in the Book of Praise. Lord Jesus, you shall be my song, or as it appears before you on the screens. Jonathan here this morning. Probably Jonathan needs no introduction for many because he was here as the associate minister in the congregation of St. John's from 92 to 96. But I knew him before then. Yes, I did, because Jonathan left Saskatoon, and we were in Saskatchewan at that time in ministry, and so Jonathan was a friend at that time, and Then I almost forgot that we were in the Synod of the Atlantic Provinces together in the early 2000s. The odd thing about the ministers' union is that we kind of float back and forth and run into each other from time to time. And it's was a great pleasure to see Jonathan's picture here on the wall as I was preparing to come here. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Jonathan this morning. For those who don't know Jonathan, Jonathan was born in Southern California, ergo the pool, and all year long swimming, I guess, eh? Yeah, pretty cool. And then came to Canada to study at Regent College in Vancouver. He completed two master's degrees in theology there, and he also holds a PhD in religious studies from the University of Ottawa. And his focus was on integrating theology and psychology in a religious studies manner. Jonathan has served an entire career in ministry, serving beginning in student days, in Quebec, then moving, beginning in Saskatchewan and moving across the country, as we all do, and concluding the last 5 years of his ministry in Ottawa at Grace Orleans. He is now blissfully retired and getting used to what all of that means. The blessing of being blissfully retired means he can be with us this morning. So I'm very pleased to introduce Jonathan, and we look forward to hearing his word for us today.
Well, thank you, Robert. That's very kind. I don't think I've ever been introduced in a service three times before, but it's really nice of everybody. For those who don't know me, and for those who do, it's really nice to be here. And I think we should probably read the scriptures again, probably before I forget, though. The gospel reading is John, and it is. Am I in the right place? And I lose my bulletin easily. Oh, there it is. Okay, I've got it. It's okay. And thank you also for singing those. They're very strange hymns. Yeah, I know they're strange hymns. I chose the hymns today, just to let you know. So just I'll in case any flack goes to Robert or the choir or anybody else. The first hymn is a Christmas hymn, really. You know, about Jesus coming down. And the second hymn is, some people think it's an Easter hymn. It should be called The Servant King instead of You Came to Earth, Helpless Babe, which then makes you think of a doo-wop song or something from that 50s era. It's really his service through all the seasons. And the one we just sang is not well known, but it's my heart and hope, and one of my favorite songs in the new, well, I call it the new hymnal. It's not new. It was... It just came out, I think, when I was leaving here. So thank you for your patience with new songs. Let's hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. I'm reading from the New International Version. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do or perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water, of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And Lord, as we hear your word and your words, help us to receive from you that which is yours to give, and you alone. Give us that peace of heart that we need so desperately in your presence, that we might know you and love you anew this day. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So it is good to be back in Cornwall, and I have many good memories here for which I am grateful. I was associate minister, as already been said. I'm sorry I missed Fred's funeral last year. I didn't know. I believe I was here also in the pulpit in 2016 or 17 as the national director of the Canadian Bible Society. Does anybody remember that year? That's not too far long ago. We've been talking about long, long ago. But that was a good memory, being here with you at that time. The Bible Society position only lasted a year for me, which, of course, is a story in itself that I won't tell. And you may or may not know that our oldest daughter, Alexandra, was married here in 2018 on a hot, sticky summer day in June of 2018. Now, that's a good memory. We all have good memories also of doing what I call children's theater. It was called Caraway Street. It was based on the Sesame Street model. And it was an attempt to help the kids to receive the Lord and love the Lord and walk with the Lord. Now, and it's already been said, those children are in their 30s now. And I have to say, I've made mistakes here in St. John's, in this congregation. I've made mistakes everywhere I've gone in ministry. But one of the things I have done, which is I don't think a mistake, is put my focus on Jesus and his gospel. And that continues, and I trust he is the reason you come to church today. It's not to hear some guy that we're talking too much about. You don't come here just to hear another human voice, I heard, I hope. But you come here to hear the voice of the highest power, the voice of the one who can change you, change your life for the better, the voice of him who can forgive your sins, take away the impediments and barriers between you and God. If you but sincerely ask him to do so, he can even change your character defects. Come to Jesus today. We have nowhere else to go that is worthwhile going. And when we are with him, then we can talk about all kinds of things. And while I feel I have too much to share and too little time, let me emphasize the importance of listening to Scripture to hear God's voice. If we lose listening to Scripture, we lose hearing God's voice. You would be surprised, perhaps, or not, I don't know. If I told you very few congregations, Christian congregations in Canada, engage in regularly reading God's word publicly. Now, we've read four selections today. That's unusual, perhaps. But most churches we have visited in my retirement and when I was at the Bible Society do not read Scripture. Does that surprise you? Baptists, Pentecostals, Alliance, Mennonite, yes, even some Presbyterians do not read passages of Scripture. Now, that's not to say the pastor won't quote a verse or more during his or her sermon, but a full reading of a passage apart from the sermon time appears to be fading away, at least now in Canada. Musical worship, announcements, prayers and sermons are everywhere, but reading Scripture publicly is fading. So I am greatly encouraged. Robert, don't give up having that whole center block of the service. Reading Scripture publicly, it's a breath of fresh air in a time that values the Bible less and less. And I encourage you as well to read Scripture privately, personally, daily, and read through the Bible in a year. You can do it. I know it's a commitment of about half an hour a day. You can get a free app on your phone like YouVersion. Anybody ever heard of that app? I don't get any money for saying this. It's a version of the Bible that's available for, I think, all the phones. And there's 75 English language versions on it and more than 3,000 other language versions. So if your mother tongue is not English, you'll find a Bible version likely for you there. I'm mostly reading the English Standard Version these days, but if you prefer the NIV or NRSV, like is in the pews, since I think we put it in our time in the 90s, early 90s, or the Message or whatever version, just listen to God through the whole Bible. Yes, listen to the names, listen to the wars, listen to the hard stuff, listen to the easy stuff, because it's God's book, and it's not only an all-time bestseller, but you don't want to miss out on what God has to tell you. Now, Psalm 29, we read responsively. We listened to the Scripture on the subject of the Holy Trinity. All those passages were from the lectionary on the Holy Trinity. David sings God's praises in Psalm 29 and reminds us to do the same. All the hymns today are focused on Jesus. John tells us in his gospel that Jesus created the world in the beginning. John's gospel starts with the same words as the first words in Genesis. And he tells us that he entered into our world in a covert fashion, if you will, as the created, even though he is the creator. And his voice is the voice of the Lord. David sings of the power and the glory of that voice, doesn't he, in verses 2 to 9 of Psalm 29. He uses weather. Canadians love to talk about the weather, yes? He uses weather to speak of such power, like the thunderstorms we had this last week. Did you have thunderstorms here? Just checking. Did you have, and then a thunder over the water like the St. Lawrence, breaking trees like cedars, large cedars, not the bushes. Flashes of lightnings are twisting oats and causing forest fires, which many Canadians are fearing again this year. His power evokes a sense of worship and intercession. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, verse 2, adorns more than one Presbyterian sanctuary. I know we had it at the front in St. John's at St. David's Church. The older NIV translates it better, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. We come in being reminded by our lovely windows that he is the one we come in to focus on. I still remember preaching on Holman's Hunt's Christ knocking at the door of your heart when the pulpit was over there. Sorry, more memories. Sometimes we just remember parts of Scripture that we know. How many people know the 23rd Psalm? Anybody? Still? Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the next phrase? I shall not want. Other versions say, I lack nothing. That's worth a good long meditation, isn't it? I lack nothing. Because most of us think we lack lots, right? That we're not content. But in Jesus, we shall not want. God is in the broadcasting business. Robert and I were just talking about how all the churches during the pandemic had to become television producers. You know, he and I weren't taught to be television producers at the seminaries, the Presbyterian seminaries, I can guarantee you. But, you know, God is broadcasting all the time. His word is going out across the world in thousands of languages. Right now, praise is going up to God across the face of the earth. And we need to be tuned to his channel, and that's why I speak to you about the scriptures. Let's turn to Romans 8, then briefly. Paul there also speaks of our triune God in Romans 8, 12 to 17. Paul reminds us that every day we must choose whether we will follow God. It's a choice, every day. And trust God to follow Jesus or to follow ourselves or other powers, such as human institutions. We can follow our flesh, that is the sinful nature, or follow the Holy Spirit. In reality, most of us do a hybrid of both, that is following God and following other desires. This is the sin nature or the flesh that is still in us. But if we indeed follow Jesus, Jesus' Holy Spirit is alive in us and will cause us to raise us to life. The same one who caused Jesus to raise to life will cause each of us to raise to life as well. Each day to God's life in us, someday to a new resurrection body. And I think some of us are really looking forward to that. This is why we can have less fear in the face of death, because we know Jesus was raised to life by the Spirit. We can also trust Jesus' Father and know we are his children. We can call him Dad or Abba, which is still the close word for Father in Aramaic today, Daddy. When we trust Jesus, we know his Father who is God and can lead us into this life and forevermore. We become co-heirs with Christ in the new heaven and the new earth that is coming, as Paul teaches in verse 17. It goes beyond what we can ask or imagine, that we will have a place in that place, the riches of God, the presence of God, the resources of God in eternity. Spirit teaches us that these things are true, even if we don't understand the math of three in one and one in three, the triunity, the Trinity. God is more than we understand, but he is unity and community, one in three. So let me go on now to the Gospel of John, which is the best place to learn more of the Trinity. There we find clearly Jesus accepting worship and his own deity. There we find him sacrificing himself so that the Holy Spirit would come and be with us and in us forever, rather than some periodic or short periods of infilling of the Holy Spirit, such as in the Old Testament. Last week at Pentecost, we heard again of this basic truth that the Spirit gives us the ability to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and to trust God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do so again today or for the first time. Open yourself to Jesus as Nicodemus does in chapter 3. John chapter 3, you may think, wow, I've heard this maybe too many times, John chapter 3. But this week we hear it in the midst of worshiping our triune God, making himself known through Jesus in a nighttime meeting with a Supreme Court judge. I guess that's the best way we can talk about Nicodemus, or Nick, as I will call him, because it's four syllables is too much. He was no lightweight, this fellow who met with Jesus at night. He was well-educated. He had a long ministry and as a spiritual leader in the community and in the nation. And he opens himself to Jesus for Jesus to explain how and why Jesus was able to perform miracles such as the water turning to wine at Cana in Galilee, personal physical healings from illnesses, and later resurrections from the dead. Stuff you don't see every day. Nick affirms God's presence in Jesus' ministry, but Nick wanted to know how Jesus could do these things in verse 2. But Nick wasn't ready for the answer, was he? The answer was to start all over again. Know your need. Do you know you're needy today? Know your need. Give up your life as you know it Start all over again. That's Jesus' teaching. Now, maybe if Jesus had said it that way, Nick might have understood, but instead you know that what Jesus said, don't you? What did he say? You must be born again, right? You must be born. You won't see the kingdom of God until you're born again. You won't have anything to do with God until you're born again. Now, today Nick would say, oh, come on, you're not one of those born again people, are you? Because that's what I've been told. Come on, just for the record, I always say I am one of those people, one of those born-again people, because that's the way Jesus explains the new life in God. He uses a new life image, and it's quite a provocative one, isn't it? It's particularly true if you've ever seen a real human birth. Anybody seen a real human birth? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. It's painful, right? It's messy. It's two lives and two bodies in one body, and there's one body that's never been outside before, and one body that'll never be the same. The birthing process, there's blood and fluids, and I've already gone into too much detail. You know about birth, right? Well, the second birth is like the first. It's messy. The old life goes, the new life comes. No wonder the baby cries. It's all new. Life doesn't seem as safe as it used to because of the big changes from inside to outside. When speaking of spiritual birth, the old ways are rebellion against God. The flesh says, my way or the highway. Or who was it that sang, I did it my way? Sinatra. That's the flesh. I did it my way. The new way is the Spirit's way. It's following Jesus. It's saying, Jesus, you know better than I do. Listening and learning a way that is foreign to you because being subject to Jesus, to his teaching and his authority, is foreign to us. It's a whole new life. Yes, even to those of us who have been in church all of our lives. Today, will I follow Jesus? A very relevant question. Will I choose his way rather than my own? Will I pledge allegiance to him first and foremost, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, forsaking all other allegiances in light of him? Now, Nick didn't even get as far as any of this stuff that I'm saying. Nick was still there thinking about somebody climbing back into their mother, which is an intimate, sexual, and inappropriate. I hope we can all agree. He simply didn't get it, did he? And he was a bright guy. So Jesus changes the symbolic or metaphoric line of thinking, talks more about born of water and of the Spirit, verse 5. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. And scholars say this could mean the physical birth by the water, the breaking of the water, if you will, and the spiritual birth, the Spirit. Or it could mean baptismal water and the Holy Spirit's presence. The point is clearly being made in Scripture, that we need two births, physical and spiritual birth, to be a part of God's mission, God's kingdom, where Jesus is king. Like Isaiah, when he said, and his sins were forgiven, he was touched upon his mouth, and then right after the passage that was just read, who's going to go with me? Who's going to go on mission for me? And he says, I will, Lord. And on top of this going is the truth that Scripture presents human beings as tripartite. Did you know that? That we are body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, if you look that up. The body is the physical part of us. The soul is that part of us that is uniquely what some people call personality. And the spirit, which is that part of us which is in relationship with God or not. We are not three distinct persons, as God is, but we are three parts of a whole. Jesus was trying to teach us about how to become a part of God's kingdom to a man, Nicodemus, who thought he was already a part of it. And Jesus tells us that we start over again when we turn from our sins, choose to follow the Spirit, and that is when we follow him and accept him for who he is and accept his word as his word and true. He tells Nick that he should understand these basic concepts. And now, why one person accepts God? Why is it that some people accept God, some people go to church, Some people don't. Some people accept God. Some people don't. Why is that? And Jesus just says, sort of like the wind. Why does the wind go one way and not the other? The wind veers in a thunderstorm. The bad thunderstorm went the other way, not this way. Why didn't we get the wind and the rain and the hail like Environment Canada says, you know, nickel size or toonie size or whatever? But he says, the Spirit's like that. He goes where he will. And all I say to you is, no matter what the weather's like, turn to Jesus, accept his Spirit, follow him with whatever he calls you to. Now, at this point in the story, Nicodemus is basically lost. The scripture says in verse 9, how can this be? But I think it's more like, what? Jesus then slaps Nick on the wrist, so to speak. You're a smart guy. You're a spiritual leader. How come you don't understand these spiritual things? And the quick answer is that Nick had never before met the Messiah, the hope of Israel, the Savior of the world. Jesus simply relates to Nick that he is talking about what he has experienced. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way, like we just sang. But if Nick couldn't understand birth, he wouldn't likely understand a lecture on the Trinity, would he? Jesus tells Nick that he's been in heaven, he's the Son of Man, and later in the passage, he's the Son of God. God's Son, clearly a reference to his deity, his being God. Son of Man, clearly a reference to his humanity. Jesus is fully God and fully human. Jesus refers to himself as the one who comes down from heaven to be lifted up, a reference to being lifted up on the cross and tortured to death. Just like the snake was lifted in the desert, this is a cross reference that Nick would have understood from Numbers 21. When the people of Israel were in the desert, they were complaining, and all of a sudden poisonous snakes come into the camp and start biting people, and people were dying, and it was a desperate situation. And Moses was told by God to make a bronze snake, place it up on the pole, and the people were asked to look up at the snake, and they trusted God by looking up at the snake. If they did that, they would be made whole. They would be healed. Others died. No, I'm not doing that. Today, as we turn to Jesus together, we recognize that he is the way. His gospel is the way to know God. We look at Jesus on the cross. Most people know about that event. They may or may not understand his sacrificial death was the way for us to know God, paying the price for our sins. But we're encouraged right now to choose to look up to Jesus, receive his love, and we will be healed of our estrangement from God and receive a new life from Jesus. Believing in Jesus is the key. And so God gives us those verses that many of us have memorized. John 3:16, has anybody memorized that? Why do we memorize that verse? Because it's on the football, right? It's in the between the, what do you call it? Goalpost, is it? When you get a touchdown? Where you do a field goal? Yeah, I know sports. Oh, yeah, well, it says John 3:16. And they put the sign up in the bleachers, somewhere in the bleachers behind that particular goalpost. And I always wondered, if you don't know what that means, how is that going to help you? But if you do know that that's a Bible verse, and it comes out of this passage, it's a key thing, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting, eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So we come to him, and I'm sure that person at the football stadium wanted people to know Jesus, because that's the key to everything in life. If we miss that in church, we miss the whole mission of Jesus. If we miss trying to invite any other people into that relationship, that's the mission of the church. We miss the mission. Just as simple as that. So you need to know him in these days. God doesn't want to condemn us, but has granted us a pardon that we only need receive. But like all relationships, this is not a one-time contract. We stay in relationship with God for the rest of our lives. We receive his gift of eternal life now. We start living it now, but still we have much to learn, don't we? I do. We must give the whole of our lives to Jesus, our relationships, our family, our choices, our finances, our sexuality, everything, don't we? And in this day and age of many changes, it's a time of huge changes. I've seen lots of changes since I was minister here. You have too, both inside the church and outside of it. I simply ask for your prayers for me and for my family, for the whole church, which is struggling. I think of young families trying to raise their children now. Stacy, some of you know Stacy. She's our youngest daughter. She's just had her fourth child. So they're doing well, Tetty and Stacy. On the other hand, there are things in our lives that are difficult, like the denomination that I think has gone away from Scripture and gone to the way of the United Church. Certainly, their decisions 37 years ago. Our national offices, do you know our national offices are joining the United Church offices? Our national youth program is now the United Church. We're joining the United Church program. I think someday maybe the PCC, the Presbyterian Church of Canada, will rejoin the United Church. I'm not a prophet in that way, but, you know, it's possible. It's a strange time, isn't it? It's the strangest of times with wars in the news, rumors of wars. The royal family's sick. Hope you're praying for them. But we have one hope in Jesus Christ. Let us turn anew to him and trust him. If we need rest and healing, and a lot of us need that, don't we? If we need new hope, because we can't see that there's going to be anything good for the next generations or even in our own lives, it's time to turn anew to Jesus. And so the last hymn, I hope you do know, I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come to me and rest." That doesn't mean take a nap right now, as you know, although you can. But it does mean that we take all our burdens to him, all our anxieties and fears, and there's a lot of them around, and we trust him anew. The other thing with, just as I close, the other thing with hymns that you don't know, sometimes don't even worry about the music or the melody that you don't know. Just get the words as a prayer to God, and it's okay. Let's pray together. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can read your word, even the parts that we know perhaps better than other parts. Help us, we pray, to know you daily, to love you daily, to listen to you daily, to walk in your ways, to experience your healing from your hand. Give us, we pray, what we need day by day. Through Christ, by his Father, and through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who love him may have life eternally. With loving hearts, let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
All things wise and wonderful.
And once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks that you revealed yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you live and reign in the perfect unity of love. Lord, we worship you in the splendor of your holiness. You give strength to your people, and you bless them with peace. We are ever mindful of the gifts that you have given to us, and we thank you for the witness of this congregation through its 237 years, for all those who have preached God's word, for all who have shared the joy of faith with children and youth, and all those who have given themselves in service to our community, that your kingdom might be given concrete form in this place. Creator God, we gaze upon the world that you have made in all its beauty and in all its richness, and we give you thanks. Remind us of the role that each of us has in caring for your creation, and change the hearts of those who seek to destroy the beauty of the earth for their own gain. Encourage those who seek climate justice, and those who work to restore our land, rivers, and seas. Creator God, help us work together to heal your creation. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, our great physician, you came to dwell among us and to heal those who are sick. We pray for all those who are struggling this day with poor health, physically or mentally. Draw alongside of those who work in healthcare. Grant them strength and wisdom for every challenge that they face. Be with those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Walk with them, comfort them, and bring them peace. Holy Spirit, inspire us to work for the heavenly kingdom where sorrow and suffering is no more. God of peace, we look around our world and see war and destruction. Bring peace in every situation that knows the torment and uncertainty that war brings. Protect those who are fleeing from violence and conflict. Grant them safe passage and help them to find welcome and acceptance wherever they might find home. Triune God, we pray for our churches everywhere, locally, nationally, and around the world. Let them be a light in the darkness and beacons of hope in situations that seem hopeless. As we give thanks for those who have nurtured us, help us too to sow seeds of faith in others. Help us to reach out to those in our communities who have yet to know you for themselves. Living God, you know our every thought. In this time of silence, we bring before you now the situations that are known only to us, and the people that we love the most. Be with us, O God, as we journey together through highs and lows. Grant us wisdom to speak into the situations that need to hear our voice, and be with us in the silence when our words fail. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us come with praise once more as we close with song, hymn number 671, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, hymn 671. There is a time of fellowship following worship, so please do plan to stay and share a time of fellowship and reacquaintance with Jonathan. Friends, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying this, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. Let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as we go, may the blessings of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.